brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show on this Thursday, December 11th, 2014. Another week of betrayal by the GOP to their voters, to their conservative voters, even to the conservative congressmen who've not been given a chance to see what's in a massive spending bill for the second time in 2 weeks. We're also going to talk about the massive betrayal of the American public, specifically a lot of Democrat voters who voted for Obama because they thought he was going to clean up the torture that was going on in the CIA. Instead, what they did was they rewarded the people who had been in charge of that. We're going to look at the big picture of the torture report. We're also going to talk to Joe Biggs, who was in Afghanistan, Iraq. We're going to talk to him about what he saw on the ground. As he mentioned, he's delivered people to facilities that he believed they were being tortured, facilities where he didn't see the people in some cases come out. So we want to talk about that. There's been a lot that's been said on the radio as well as on the news excusing everybody involved. It's like nobody knew this was going on. Come on. We've known about this for over a decade. Everybody in America has known this is going on. George Bush knew about it. This report from Senator Feinstein is a whitewash of the American government, of the American people. And what it reveals is that we have a secretive government that operates in the dark on a black budget called the CIA. They can do anything they want, and they can get away with it. Murder, torture, whatever. That's what the real source of this report is. The real findings of this report is they can do anything they want. But the day is coming where there's going to be a day of reckoning. If it doesn't happen to them on this earth, it's going to happen eventually. I don't want this stuff done in my name. A lot of us have been saying this for a long time, but it's amazing how some people are now backing off. Some people who are very critical of this are backing off. People who would have criticized and did criticize Obama's attempt to immediately put John Brennan, one of the people who was in charge, very high up in the CIA, apologist for the enhanced interrogation. He wanted to make him head of the CIA immediately, but then wisely backed off and did that about 5 years later. In the meantime, they use John Brennan as someone laying down legal cover for drone assassinations. Then he takes his place at the CIA. You think anything's going to happen there? No. But we're going to take a look at what the GOP is doing. Now, of course, we've seen for the second time in 2 weeks, it was last week that they passed through the massive defense spending bill. They released it 1,600 pages. They released at 10:30 at night on a Tuesday, then had to have that vote on the following Thursday. They've done it again this week, again with the omnibus spending bill. And it's not just a continuing resolution to go for a couple of months. This is going to continue the government all the way through until September 2015. We're going to look at what they crammed in this bill and didn't give anybody a chance to take a look at it. Remember when everybody criticized Pelosi for saying we're going to have to pass Obamacare so that we can see what's in it? The Republicans pledged at that time that they would give the public, give Congress time to take a look at these massive bills instead of cramming them through at the last minute. But then, of course, this week we see that we've got a continuing resolution slash omnibus bill. They call it the Cromnibus because it's kind of a hybrid between the two. It goes for yet another year. We see that they bring this in again on 8:30 this last Tuesday. And then today it has to be voted on. Otherwise, they're going to run out of money. They're not shutting down anything they said they were going to shut down. They're not going to shut down Obamacare. They're not going to shut down the amnesty. They're going to continue to fund all of that. And of course, as rumored, as feared, there is a massive backpedaling on the little bit of control that was put on the banks in the wake of TARP. Yeah, they're going to sign us up to guarantee their derivative gambles on a much, much larger scale than we ever saw with the mortgages. That's a part of it, using FDIC insurance. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the bankers turning into preppers. What's behind that? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is the most transparent administration in history, and I can document how that is the case. American journalists at a media event have criticized the U.S. administration over transparency issues.
We cover what we are allowed to cover.
Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage.
Information management has become so sophisticated, every administration learns from the previous one.
I've got a pen and I've got a phone.
There are actions I have the legal authority to take as president.
What do you say to someone who believes the president took action to change the law?
We did not change the law. We acted within the law.
What you're not paying attention to is the fact that I just took an action to change the law.
Front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Thursday, December 11th, 2014. Of course, they are breaking the law. They're changing the law. They're doing whatever they want. And the response from the mainstream press is, that's just awesome. That's what we saw yesterday from Fox News talking about the release of this torture report. Don't worry about that. We're awesome. Everything we do is awesome. It doesn't matter what anybody says about us. Just put that out of your mind. We're awesome. We're not like a third world dictatorship. That's right. We're not. We're a dictatorship with nuclear weapons and militarized police. Never been equipped like this before in the past and never had the kind of access to our data. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the torture report. And we're going to talk about the new continuing resolution omnibus bill that the Republicans are sneaking through the House as we speak. Only gave it out at 8:30 p.m. on Tuesday. 1,600 pages, $1 trillion of spending, and all kinds of things not related to spending, changing and crafting policy, prohibiting this, allowing that. All of this stuff was put through without anybody having any time to look at this. No public oversight, no understanding of what they're voting on. Sounds kind of like Pelosi, doesn't it? They criticized Pelosi for that, for saying we have to pass a bill so we can see what's in it. That's the way the Republicans have operated twice now in 2 weeks. They did the same thing last week, the defense spending bill, bringing it out at 10:30 on a Tuesday and forcing it through on a Thursday for a vote. Now, as we just saw that breaking the law opening there, it's interesting to see Obama stumbling on his own answers here over a heated immigration exchange with reporter Jorge Ramos. This is from IJ Review, talked about this. He heckled the president, essentially saying, if you, as you're saying, always had the legal authority to stop deportations, then why did you deport 2 million people? See, that's the thing. He said 22 times he didn't have the authority under the law to just do whatever he wanted. We were a nation of law, he said. So he had to follow the law that was put down by the Congress. Now he says to another immigrant heckler, he says, I changed the law for you. Then they try to work that back. We're going to talk about how the Republicans are playing ball with him in this new budget. But first, I want to go over some of the things we saw from the torture report. We need to take a look at this from the perspective of what's happening here and going to happen here domestically in America. And, of course, we just learned today from Justin Amash, a new bill snuck through. This is a time of year that they always like to sneak through their presence, of course, for us, their totalitarian presence. Obama signed the NDAA the first time on a New Year's Eve. They put Obamacare through on Christmas Eve. Of course, the Federal Reserve was created on a Christmas Eve back in 1913. So that they always like to pull these things up in the holidays when people aren't really paying much attention, just like they like to dump the news on the weekend. When bad news on the weekend so that nobody's paying attention. But one person in Congress was paying attention. Justin Amash noticed a bill, and he talked to his colleagues about it, said, we need to have a roll call vote on it. They didn't allow that. They had a voice vote. They passed this 325-100. It's the Intelligence Authorization Act. It authorizes, according to Justin Amash, the acquisition, retention, and dissemination of all communication data from U.S. citizens. They say, he points out in his analysis of it, he said, this section of the law contemplates that those private communications of Americans obtained without a court order may be transferred to domestic law enforcement for criminal investigation. Section 309 provides the first statutory authority for the acquisition, retention, and dissemination of U.S. persons' private communications. He says obtained without legal process, like a court order or a subpoena. Now, we've been seeing this develop. This is not something that is new, that they've never done before. But this is how they're continually, incrementally taking our rights. They start doing this, and then after they've done it for a while and it starts to become public, then they give themselves legal cover. That's essentially what's going on with this Senate intelligence report. They're trying to give themselves cover. They're trying to say nobody knew. We see over and over again in this report, the CIA did this, the CIA did that. It was worse than we knew, but Bush didn't know anything. The Congress didn't know anything. The American people didn't know anything. That's the biggest lie of all, to say that nobody knew anything. We're going to talk to Joe Biggs at the bottom of the hour about what he saw when he was abroad with the Army in Afghanistan, Iraq, how they would have people delivered what he believed was torture. People would not come back out. So we're going to talk about his firsthand experience. I want to go over, before we get any further in the torture, though, some of the headlines up on InfoWars.com today. Of course, that article I just talked about is up there about the new legal cover that they're giving themselves. And of course, they can't legally do that, but they can do a lot of things under the cover of law, pretending that they have the legal authority to do it, and they will do it. Cops allow a Saudi baby, a Saudi with a dead baby in the trunk, to drive away so as not to offend the Muslims. That's a story up by Paul Joseph Watson on InfoWars.com. They say the cop pulled over a vehicle. It had paper tags and a registration violation. It had three Saudi Arabians with Saudi driver's licenses who told the officers they had a dead child in the trunk prepared for an Islamic burial at a mosque in Franklin, Tennessee. And the officer, not wanting to be disrespectful to the men or their faith, just let the car drive away without checking the trunk to see if the story was true. How about that? Diplomatic immunity, the same thing that we're seeing with people who are coming here illegally through the borders from any country. They can come here and do anything they want. We've seen this over and over and over again. So that's just another example of it. And as he points out, in his article, he says, it'll infuriate many Americans who believe that illegal immigrants and other foreigners are being given free rein to commit crimes. I've seen it in my own personal life. I've seen it on the highway, especially on traffic violations. That's one excuse I've never used, though. I guess I should, I need to get some papers to show that I'm a Saudi. I've got the beard. Maybe I could get away with that. I never thought of telling them I'm from a foreign country and I have a dead baby in the trunk, so you need to let me go. Maybe I'll try that next time they pull me over for speeding or something. We also have another story up on InfoWars.com. They know something. Why did the Treasury Department just purchase thousands of survival kits for bank examiners? They're going in, they're going to spend $200,000 to get about 3,800 kits. And listen to the stuff they're putting out. The banks are turning into preppers. They've got a fanny pack that's going to hold all this stuff. They've got a 2,400-calorie food bar, a three-pack, an 8-ounce water, 50 water purification tablets. They've got two aspirins, two ibuprofens, two decongestant tablets. I mean, you know, oh, and this, don't forget this. They've got a whistle with a lanyard. See, that's what you blow when the guy with a gun takes all that stuff from you, because this isn't really going to do them much good. But it's pretty amazing that the bankers think that they need to send this out. And of course, it's all going to the big seven or eight banks. These survival kits will be delivered to every major bank in the U.S., Bank of America, American Express Bank, Capital One, Citicorp, J.P. Morgan, Chase, Wells Fargo. The usual suspects are all going to get their survival kits. Actually, you know, it's amazing how much the CIA is like the Federal Reserve. In both cases, they appear to be under the control of the government, and yet they are the ones who are actually controlling the government. That appearance of control is merely where the facade government, the visual government, this propped-up phony government has a hearing and appoints the head of the Federal Reserve or the head of the CIA. After that, there's no auditing of anything that they do. Nobody's going to go to jail, no matter what they do. Everything they do is in the dark. It's in the secret. And they're going to basically get away with everything that they've done over the last 10, 15 years. Nobody is going to go to jail. And, you know, the only person, actually, there was one person who went to jail, of course, and his name's not in the report. He was the whistleblower who blew the whistle on the torture. He went to jail. He's still in jail. And nobody else is going to jail. We've seen that before, haven't we? Haven't we seen it before? I just did a report interview on Monday night talking to someone who has made the connection between the mortgage pump and dump and tracking it all the way through, the money being channeled through Swiss banks. Of course, we've talked in the past about whistleblowers exposing money laundering by the biggest banks, and they get a slap on the wrist fine from the Justice Department. The Justice Department says that they're too big to jail, just like they're too big to fail. But it goes beyond that. He's got some contacts in the intelligence community that say that this is they're actually funding the black ops. Of course they are. They're funding, CIA is funding their black ops with the drug war. We've pointed that out over and over again. Yet nothing happens to them. But in many respects, the two of them are exactly the same. Before, again, we're going to talk more about that, and we're going to talk to Joe Biggs at the bottom of the hour. But this is rolling out in all of the Western countries. It's not just the United States. Look at what's going on in Japan. This is a report from The Guardian. The Prime Minister there, Abe, has put in a law that will essentially jail civil servants who leak state secrets up to 10 years in prison. Journalists who encourage whistleblowers to leak could get up to 5 years. See, it's the whistleblowers and the journalists who are going to go to jail, not the criminals who are torturing, not the people who are running the dark operations, who are funding the drug war, not the people who are actually breaking the law, but the people who expose them. They want to go to jail. But you know what? The people that go to jail have a clear conscience. I haven't seen one of them yet regret that they blew the whistle. They don't want to go to jail, but they have the moral high ground. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host on this Thursday. We're going to be talking to Joe Biggs in the next segment. He's going to talk to us about what happened, what he saw at the ground level. I want to look at the big picture right now about this torture report. What does this tell us about our government? And of course, as I pointed out in the last segment, just like the Federal Reserve, there's the illusion of control over the CIA because we have these public hearings where they appoint the head of the Federal Reserve or they appoint the head of the CIA. But there's never any accountability. There's never any visibility. They both operate in secret and have massive power to control and destroy lives, to control and destroy the economy. They both operate totally in secret, and there is no real auditing of them. This report that came out is nothing but a bunch of contradictory lies, whitewashing anybody but the CIA of any responsibility because, of course, again, the CIA can't be punished. The CIA is above the law. But they don't want any presidents or people who are currently serving to get in any trouble. But take a look at some of the main characters that were involved in this. And as I pointed out, the only person who's gone to jail was the person who blew the whistle on this. But look at what we've got now. We've got John Brennan, who's the current head of the CIA. This was somebody who, at the very beginning, was involved in all of this in terms of apologizing for the torture. He was somebody that Obama wanted to put into place back in 2008. And when he came back 5 years later, he didn't put him in charge of the CIA at that time. He had nominated somebody else, but they kind of played musical chairs with the power elite. They rotated him back in the position 5 years later so people wouldn't really understand that Obama's talk about controlling the CIA, the torture, the foreign wars, was all just a sham for his voters. It was all just a lie. And they didn't want to have him in 2008. And as this analysis from Connor Friedersdorf in The Atlantic pointed out when they were looking at the confirmation hearings of Brennan in 2013, he said, back in 2008, Andrew Sullivan said, when Obama first considered Brennan as CIA chief, Andrew Sullivan said, if Obama picks him, it will be a vindication of the kind of ambivalence and institutional moral cowardice that made America a torturing nation. It would be an unforgivable betrayal of his supporters and his ideals. And then Connor Friedersdorf points out that 5 years later, Andrew Sullivan doesn't want to oppose his nomination, saying people change. Well, you know what? Brennan didn't change. The people who changed are people like Andrew Sullivan and the ACLU, who were right at one point in time on this issue, but then changed their minds. The ACLU's response to this Senate report was to say that we need to have Obama pardon the people involved. Because what he's doing now is he's tacitly pardoning them by not taking any action, not putting anybody in jail, not prosecuting anyone, not even firing anybody. So that's a very dangerous thing. We need to at least say that laws were broken. And that would be a good thing if we could even admit that laws are broken. You can't even get that in America. But that's what's happened to the opposition. They've just rolled over and laid down for all of this. They won't talk about it being immoral. They won't talk about it being illegal. They won't talk about anybody being fired or going to jail. The only person who's saying anything even close to that is Mark Udall, who's very upset. He's not coming back either. He did not win his reelection. And so he's taken some parting shots at the CIA. He says the CIA lied to the public and John Brennan must quit, says outgoing senator in a fiery speech. This is an article from The Guardian. He accused the CIA and the White House, and that would be the Obama White House, of lying about brutal CIA interrogations and continuing to cover them up. Yes, that's exactly right. And I'm glad to see that I disagree with him on many issues, but, you know, we need to stand with people when they're doing the right thing, even if they're only right on one issue. Mark Udall has been really solid on this. At one point in time, he was saying that he was going to read the entire classified report, 6,000 pages, into the Senate record. They said the last time that happened was by Alaska Senator Mike Gravel back in the 1970s. He read the Pentagon Papers into the record. He could have done that. He chose not to do that, but they said he was clearly very angry. He said the CIA has lied to its overseers and the public. No, there aren't any overseers of the CIA. And to say that John Brennan must quit is not strong enough. John Brennan needs to go to jail. Not Pasco, not collect $200, but the only thing we've got on this Monopoly board are get-out-of-jail-free cards. Now, think about the people who are in charge of this. We got the current head of the CIA is John Brennan. The current head of Homeland Security is Jay Johnson. He was involved as an attorney for the Department of Defense, giving legal cover to this back there. So they put him in charge of domestic law enforcement with Homeland Security. The other person involved with this, covering it up, allowing it to happen at the time, was James Comey, head of the FBI. This is coming to America. We're going to be right back with Joe Biggs. Stay with us.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Thursday, December 11th, 2014. I'm joined now with Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs, retired. We're going to talk about his personal experience, what he saw as far as torture goes. Just before the break, I was talking about torture at the highest level, and I want to get back into that as we start talking about this, Joe. But before I do, I want to let you know about our Secret 12, which is now back in stock. It's been sold out for weeks. We have a very difficult proprietary processing to get it in, but it's back in limited supply. This is the last shipment we're going to get until 2015, and it can take anywhere from weeks or months. We're talking about secret governments and secret tortures, but there's no secret here that B12 is very, very important for your nutrition. This is nutraceutical grade proprietary B12. It's taken by mouth, no needles, no injections. And it's got two forms of bioactive and super powerful B12. Secure yours now before we blast it out to our list tonight. We expect our limited supply to sell out. And you can get it by Christmas if you get it by December 17th. So we're getting pretty close to that deadline. If you're going to get anything from the InfoWars store, you need to get it by December 17th for guaranteed Christmas delivery. Now, Joe, before the break, I was talking about how the people that we see now as head of the CIA, head of Homeland Security, head of the FBI. These are guys who are all doing cover for all this torture at the top level. Now, of course, we're told by this whitewash report from Senator Feinstein that nobody knew. Nobody knew. I mean, for 10 years, we've been talking about this at least. Okay, everybody's been talking about what's going on and complaining about it. But, of course, the White House didn't know until after legal clearance was given, and then they told George Bush about it. Colin Powell didn't know about any of this. These are reports we're seeing from NBC.
These are people who should know about this.
Yeah, exactly. So if they didn't know about that, then what are they doing in the position that they're in? I mean, at the very least, they should be fired. But, of course, nobody is going to go to jail for any of this. Instead, not only is nobody going to get punished, not only is nobody going to get shamed, and I think that was a big part of this, of course. Dianne Feinstein was very angry that she got spied on and her staff got spied on when they were doing this investigation. They took years to look at this. They've been looking at it for over 6 years. I think they've spent like $40, $60 million on just their staff to investigate this. They were complaining about the fact that they had outside contractors who were paid $80 million.
Well, John Brennan said it wasn't spying, it was searching. They were just searching.
They were searching, okay. Yeah, this is something. Kurt Nemo's got a story up on Infowars.com today. Nazis designed the torture instruments for maintenance of CIA's terror war charade. He points out that this goes all the way back to Operation Paperclip, and even further than that, it goes back to the Nazi regime of 1937. They actually had a German term for enhanced interrogation, something they could do that would essentially not show up and cause any embarrassment for the people. Then as a reporter, he cites here, Annie Jacobson says, former Nazis were at the forefront of developing torture techniques for the U.S. government. Same thing we've seen with the biochemical weapons that were brought into Fort Detrick and other places. They brought these guys in from Germany, from Japan, who had been experimenting on people. They brought them in and made them the core of our bioweapons research. They also did the same thing at the CIA, making them the core of torture. They say the work took place at a clandestine facility in the American zone of occupied Germany called Camp King. The facility's chief medical doctor was Operation Paperclips, Dr. Walter Schreiber, former Surgeon General of the Third Reich. And the activities that went on in Camp King between 46 and the late 50s have been never fully accounted for by the Department of Defense or by the CIA, just as we're seeing today. So this is something that is a long-standing problem. It's not something we're just learning about from Dianne Feinstein. What Dianne Feinstein is trying to do is to give herself and Republicans immunity from prosecution and blame it all on the CIA. And then the CIA, nothing happens to them because they can say everything is a matter of national security.
Well, the people they put in charge of the the salt box area overseas where they were interrogating people, they said that the person they put in charge had never even worked in interrogations and or worked around prisoners. So you're going to put these people in charge of trying to get human intelligence, and they have no clue what they're doing whatsoever.
Let's talk about what you saw there, because when you and I went to Fort AP Hill and we were looking at the American replica city that they have built there for the military to train and for police to train against the American people. And that's where this is all coming, folks. Make no mistake about it. When we talk about the fact that the head of Homeland Security, the head of the FBI, these are guys who were involved in making legal excuses to try to give legal cover for this torture operation. They were rewarded. They were promoted to the head of our civilian law enforcement agency. So we were at this training facility looking at what they had there in terms of buildings, and we came across a building, and you said, that looks very much like the building that we used to deliver people to for what you believed was torture. Tell us
about it. Well, think about this. 10 years ago, when I went through training to go to the theater, Iraq, the places we trained at looked just like it. Here we are, you know, 10, 12 years later, and everything looks like small-town America.
Yes.
And now I'm seeing some of those same things integrated from combat theater overseas now into these training exercise areas like Fort AP Hill or like the one at Camp Lejeune, where now you're seeing these torture chambers being put into small-town USA training areas. And then we have the Marines out in L.A. conducting all these raids as well. So it's scary what it looks like it's coming to.
Yeah. And on the very same day that Dianne Feinstein releases her report, they passed the NDAA again for the fourth time under her leadership. And, of course, that's going to have indefinite detention by the military without trial, presumably rendition as well as torture, but all be included in that. Anybody that they claim is an enemy combatant. And then we see today that they have just tried to give themselves legal cover to spy on all Americans' communications without ever pretending that they need to go before a judge or get any verification from that in terms of a subpoena or a court order as required by the Constitution. They just ignore the Constitution and pass their law.
Well, it was interesting for me, David, when I was overseas, we would catch people who we knew, and I could tell with a gut feeling and seeing the things that they've done were bad people. We would catch them and they would release them 2-3 days later.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people that, for beyond my reasons, they would take and torture. You know, we would release, catch and release these people who make IEDs and things like that. People who actually went out and had a record of attacking coalition forces and attacking with suicide bombers and placing IEDs and small arms attacks, complex attacks. Those people, in essence, would be hided, put into a biometric scanning system, and then released to go back out and continue to do bad stuff. But we would take these people from like opium fields and farmers, and if they didn't want to play ball, they'd come back and they'd go in these rooms and we'd have to sit outside and I'd have to hear screaming. It's one of those things to hear a grown man scream so much that it goes from screaming to weeping. And the scariest part was when it went to silence and you didn't hear anything else again.
Wow.
And not ever knowing if that person was going to come out or not. Cause sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't.
That's just horrific. And of course, we've seen some new things come out of this in terms of rectal feeding. Nobody had been talking about that. But we've known about the waterboarding for quite some time. And one of the things that we were told that they now say is a lie, of course, we knew it was a lie, that they were getting effective intelligence out of all this. When you talk about them catching, torturing, and releasing, the thing that went through my mind was going back to the Vietnam War. And I used to hear people that were a little bit older than me that went there talking about how they would go in and they would take an area and then they would just walk out and leave it again. And it's like, what's going on with that? The only way that that makes any sense is if you understand that the people who are running these wars want it to continue. They want it to escalate. When you catch these people, you torture them and then you release them, what are they going to do?
Retaliate.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what happened with the drone program. I think it's amazing that Brennan, who was running legal cover for them and was at the CIA, he's running legal cover for the enhanced interrogation. And of course, he's Obama's first choice for CIA director, but then postpones it for 5 years. In the meantime, he puts him in charge of the drone assassination program. And of course, he said a lot of interesting things about that. In June 2011, current CIA Director Brennan claimed U.S. counterterrorism operations had not resulted in, quote, a single collateral death in the past year. Then as they look at it, he goes, well, all right, 45, 56. Then a little bit later, 76. What they said was Brennan claimed that he said we had no information about any civilian non-combatants. And what people said was, this was based on the assumption that anybody that was military-aged, any military-aged male, was a combatant, unless proven otherwise.
You know what's interesting, though, is we release five top Taliban leaders for a Bo Bergdahl, and yet there's still people in Guantanamo that they say they have no reason to hold them whatsoever, and they know that these enhanced torture techniques don't work at all. They don't get any viable information whatsoever out of them.
Well, one of the things that we had in a story that came out, one of the quotes that came out of the report was that someone said, you're never going to get out of here because we don't want anybody to know what we did to you, essentially. I'm paraphrasing it. But, of course, that is the key thing. And they didn't really try to get to the bottom of anything in the Senate report. They didn't interview anybody who was, they didn't interview anybody they believed had tortured people with the CIA. They didn't interview very many. I didn't see that interviewed anybody who was a victim. These are reports that we heard of people who did get released, I believe. But there wasn't any discussion of what was going on in any direct sources. After 6 years of this, they never talked to anybody that did this or anybody that suffered from this. They just basically gave it a whitewash, looking at emails and documents.
Well, one night we caught some guys who were in placing IEDs. We saw them through our NVGs and put bags over their head, zip-tied it, separated them, you know, 50 yards apart. And then the guys would go up that were with us. They're not regular military, I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
Would go in there and you would see them, like, poking at them and be like, you don't speak English, do you? And, you know, the guy would just kind of sit there and he's like, I bet there's one word you do know, though. Guantanamo. And you see the guys literally urinate themselves in fear because they know that even if no matter what they could do at this point in time, they're done. Their life's over.
And see, that's a key part of it, too. As Alex said yesterday, it's about engendering the fear. And it's starting very mildly in America now. I can go back and look at a lot of the stuff that they did. Of course, they killed people. As you mentioned, they mentioned just one person in this whole report that died from hypothermia because he was left exposed on in a cold area on concrete floor. I'm sure there's many more than that died. And I'm not underestimating any of this waterboarding or any of the other stuff as being truly horrific. But some of the stuff that they did was just designed to humiliate people, mm-hmm. making them wear women's underwear and that sort of thing. And when I look at that, I look at it and say, this is how it's beginning in the U.S. Much of what we see going on now with the TSA is merely humiliation. It's merely taking away your dignity. Mm-hmm. Once they take away your dignity, they take away your freedom. Once they take away your freedom, they can torture you. They can do anything they want to you. And, of course, we just had William Binney on again talking to Alex, and he said over and over again that what we have here is not an authoritarian regime but a totalitarian regime. And the way that they get there is by grabbing our information. And today we see another massive grab, if you will, of Congress trying to pass a law that presumes to give them the authority to take people's communications.
Well, it seems like basic training for civilians now. Mm-hmm. That's what the TSA is doing. Because when you're a soldier, what they do, they break you down. They humiliate you, treat you like crap, tell you you're nothing, till you get to a point where you're just empty, bottomless, and all they can do is build you back up the way they want you.
Yes, exactly.
And it seems like that's what's starting to happen now with the American public. That's what they're trying.
Very good analogy. It's all a psyop. It's all a psyop. Pulling it down, destroying everything, mm-hmm. taking you down to nothing, and then telling and then reconstructing society. Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I saw, one of the reactions I saw that really stuck out to me was Chris Matthews talking to somebody who was complaining about the torturing. Says, come on, you're crazy if you think Al-Qaeda is going to stop torturing if we do. And I guess the question is, how do you tell then the difference between Al-Qaeda and the United States, if we both torture? How do you tell the difference between the United States and the Nazis when we bring them in with Operation Paperclip as consultants to teach us how to do what they did? How do you tell the difference between us? And, of course, we created, the CIA created Al-Qaeda.
It's a child's reaction. You put a kid in a toy box, and he hits one kid, and then that kid retaliates and hits back, and he goes, well, Mommy, he hit me first. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. They're going, well, the Taliban does it. So you know, we might as well do the same thing.
Yeah, it's always, I forget who said this, but somebody said, when you fight monsters, you have to be careful that you don't become a monster yourself. Mm-hmm. And I see that happening. It's happened in America. Now we see all these things being done under color of law. I think it's interesting to go back and look at, let's take a look at the FBI director, James Comey. And of course, he seemed to be somewhat reluctant, but he went ahead and played ball. He was a deputy attorney general at the time. The New York Times reported that he argued repeatedly that the U.S. would regret using harsh methods, but he went along with the 2005 legal opinion asserting that the techniques used by the CIA were lawful, and he gave the green light for the CIA to use all 13 methods of interrogating terrorism suspects, including waterboarding and up to 180 hours of sleep deprivation. So there you go. He says it was ready to go out, and I concur. And those were emails that the New York Times got about that. Now, what happened to him? Did he get fired? Did he get disciplined? Did he go to jail? No, he got promoted to the head of the FBI.
That's what happens in America, apparently.
Yeah, that's what they want. That's what they want. We look at another guy, the guy who's head of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson. He was general counsel for the DOD. He defended NDAA indefinite detention because that's the other part of this. Okay, that's where it's going to be applied to Americans because, of course, they're claiming that the entire world, including domestic soil here, is at a state of war. So they're going to involve the military, and we're going to have the same kind of rules of engagement that we saw happened in in Iraq and Afghanistan with the CIA. They're going to essentially do the same thing. And this came out of the report talking about how in February 2012, the administration represented by Jay Johnson, general counsel of the U.S. Department of Defense, defined the term associated forces so that they could apply it to essentially anybody with the NDAA. This is the guy who then subsequently becomes the head of Homeland Security and evidently is going to be passing for Obama when he didn't even sign his executive order. He's going to leave it to Jay Johnson to implement.
I mean, you can already see the transformation, though, going from combat overseas or what's going on now with our militarized police as well, though.
Yes.
The shoot first, ask questions, maybe down the road at some point in time.
Yes.
But 9 times out of 10, like you said, these cops do bad stuff. They don't get indicted. Sweep it under the rug and move on.
And they're desperate. They're desperate to arm the police. It's not only the training, not only how they're teaching them that they're operating in a war zone, that the public is the enemy. As I pointed out before, they said the whole idea that they hadn't killed anybody who was innocent. There wasn't any collateral damage, as the Pentagon pointed out.
And being choked to death on the ground by police officers, torture to me.
Exactly. And when you look at this, the attitude that they had in country, saying that if anybody was a military-age male, there was a presumption that they were not innocent. And that's the way they're policing the inner cities.
I've heard that many times when we're overseas. They're like, hey, that's an old enough guy. He could be a militant. Watch him.
Yeah.
Take him out if he's not, if he makes a move.
Yeah. Which reminds us that, of course, people who are military age males are the militia, and that's what's going to essentially be the only effect that we have to stand against this tyranny. We'll be right back with Joe Biggs. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight here with Staff Sergeant retired Joe Biggs, and we're talking about what he saw on the ground in terms of torture. We've been looking at the people who are at the top of this, providing legal cover, who have not been shamed, they've not been punished, they've not been demoted or fired. No, they've been promoted to the positions of head of the CIA, head of the FBI, head of Homeland Security. That's what happens when you cover for these people. They basically move you up. One of the things I was looking at in the torture report, they were talking about the memorandum of notification. It seems to me it was more restrictive than even what they've put in with the NDAA. They had a quote in there where it says, "We are not permitted," they said, "to detain someone merely upon a suspicion that he or she has valuable information about terrorists or planned acts of terrorism." And yet they've been given a much broader range in the NDAA. They say merely they have to suspect that there's substantial support. And as you're pointing out, they were just going out and rounding people up, torturing them, and releasing them. They're essentially poking both sides of the war, just as we've seen them do in Vietnam, as we've seen them do in every kind of conflict. We've got the CIA operating here secretly as an unaccountable, compartmentalized government that is over and above the people who presumably have some oversight over them or appoint the head of the CIA. I mean, there is no oversight. And we're not going to see even the kind of oversight that we saw out of this report once Richard Burr gets in, because he's publicly gone on record saying that he doesn't think there's ever anything that the CIA does that ought to be made public.
Yeah, that's out of control.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, the head of the FBI, the head of the CIA, they should call that group, they should call these guys Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
Because that's all they are. It's just an incorporation of monsters. Just, it's mind-blowing to know the fact that they can go on national TV and swear an oath that things like this aren't happening.
Yes.
And to say that and to look in the eyes of the American people and just blatantly lie. I just don't understand it, especially when I've been out there and I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen since Obama's been president numerous times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing changed after Obama got in. And we're going to talk later in the program. Yes, absolutely. We're going to talk later in the program about how the GOP has betrayed their voters who wanted them to get control of the illegal amnesty program, to shut down Obamacare, to do so many things and basically let people look and see what's in spending bills. We've had now 2 separate weeks where they basically introduced something on a Tuesday night, late, 1,600-page bill, and said, we've got to pass it by Thursday, giving congressmen and the press and the public only a few hours to look at what's in it. We're going to look at some of the things that have already shown up in the bill. Of course, there's not enough time for everybody to know everything that's in it, but there's some horrendous stuff in that. And Obama did the same thing to his supporters. A lot of people voted for him because they wanted to end the torture that was going on. They wanted to end the wars, and yet he's given us more wars. He's continued the torture. He added the drone program and put one of the guys who was giving legal cover for the torture program in charge of the drone program, who is now the head of the CIA, John Brennan. It just keeps going.
And now they're going to send more troops to Iraq.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, we're going to shut that down, he says. We're going to close down Guantanamo. We're going to do all this. I haven't seen any of that happen yet, and it's only getting worse, and it's going to continue to get worse here in America, because like I said, we're making a transformation from combat life overseas, and that's starting to pop up here in the homeland as well.
That's what people need to understand. They need to understand that this was merely training and preparation. They need to see how all of the groundwork is being laid for a massive tyranny here, how the NDAA and the legislation that was passed today, that's all going to be used against the American public. You and I saw it there at the training facility. When we come back, right after the break, we're going to talk about some more stuff that you saw in Afghanistan and Iraq, because that's what's missing. There's not any interview of the people who were there, who saw that, nothing of the people who were victims of that. Nobody who did it is being called in for questioning. Only the whistleblower who exposed it goes to prison. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, joined in studio with Joe Biggs. We've been talking about the torture report that was released. Of course, it is yet another step in the cover-up of two administrations. That should help you to get out of your left-right Republican-Democrat paradigm to understand this is something that's gone on with two administrations. You've got the Obama administration covering for the Bush administration, and this is part of the cover-up. It's a massive whitewash. It excuses Feinstein, who had oversight during this time. It excuses Bush, those in the Bush administration. One of the things that they say, and this is interesting, Joe, number 7 out of their 20 findings, the CIA impeded effective White House oversight and decision making. And yet they point out later in the report that back in 2008, even after the Congress, the House and the Senate had approved legislation to stop what they were doing, essentially limit it to what was approved interrogation methods out of the Army Field Manual, that was vetoed by President Bush. And of course, we all know that they knew about this for a very long time. We've had the former chief lawyer of the CIA, Rizzo, wrote a book called Company Man. And in it, he talks about how he provided the cover for enhanced interrogation. That was a major part of the book. But of course, when the book came out, everybody focused on the sensational aspects that there was some Hollywood big name star that got paid $50,000 in cocaine to work for the CIA, completely ignoring the lies that this guy used for enhanced interrogation. And of course, the CIA, according to him, destroyed most of the detainee interrogation videotapes back in 2005. So they knew about this stuff for a long time. But you talked about what you saw personally there. You talked about how people brought out bags over their head. They didn't speak English. They threatened them with Guantanamo, scared them to death. Talk about some of the other things that you saw there.
Well, there was a program that started coming into effect a couple months before I left. So I was involved with it, and I was one of the people who was considered a need to know about it. Most of the soldiers in my unit had no idea the operation was even going on. They just knew that we would go on missions at night and grab people. Mm-hmm. And it's a program called Rocky. Now, Rocky is an anti-tank mine. It looks like what we do, we bury it on the side of the road. It's got a tracking device in it. Mm. So what they do is then they take that information, they track that anti-tank mine to a house. Now, we've gone into these places numerous times, and there's no proof that these are IED-making facilities. It looked like just people had come across it and decided to get it off the road to maybe stop someone from running over it and getting hurt. Because you got a lot of people out there who really are just nice people who want to live a regular life. Mm-hmm. And we would go and get those people. And they would take them. And I think that from the bottom of my heart, it feels like they were using a lot of these local nationals in Afghanistan as just practice.
Yes, yes. That's the key.
That's the thing.
That's like the key. It's practice for America. Practice for other wars, but we have to understand that that dagger is pointed at our throat. We have to understand that. It was just amazing what you and I went through at AP Hill. when the security guard let us in and we were able to walk through that facility and see what they had set up. And of course, there's another one that's got slightly different kind of approach in North Carolina, I think it was.
Yeah, Camp Lejeune.
Yeah, Camp Lejeune.
The Marine base.
Yeah, that one is a more rural suburban approach. This one was more urban. It had things that you would find in a city, but of course it had a church, it had a mosque.
Soccer field.
Exactly. I mean, it was
underground subway.
It was really bizarre as we walked through that and the lights were working, you know. It's like this abandoned city. And, of course, we expect at any moment somebody who's going to have an issue with that come run down on us. But we stood there at the corner of First and Main looking at what they're training for America. And this is what they were training for in Afghanistan.
Well, they're in Iraq as well. I mean, like I said, we would catch these bad guys, and I would see them emplacing IEDs. We would release them.
Yeah.
We would take people who had nothing to do with it, and they would be taken in the room sometimes. And like I said, you would hear the most god-awful screams. Mm. I wake up in the middle of the night here, and I get goosebumps even talking about it.
Yeah, we're going to be right back after the break. We're going to talk about another story that Joe is involved in, this one about abortion. Stay with us. We're going to be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, joined in the studio with Joe Biggs. We've been talking about the torture non-report, what I believe is a whitewash, still not going to do anything to the CIA. If you look at the 20 points, every single one of them starts out, the CIA did this, the CIA did that. Very mild accusations for the most part. Most of it there to excuse people to say, well, you know, the House didn't know about it. The Senate didn't know about it. They were hiding it from us. The presidents didn't even know about it. Bush didn't know about it. And then Obama didn't know about it when he covered up for Bush administration's crimes. But of course, it all boils down to, I think, the lack, Joe, of a valuing life. You know, we don't have the sanctity of life. The founders always connected life and liberty, talking about them as being part of our inalienable rights. When we look at how this is a psychological operation with this torture stuff, as you pointed out, they want to destroy people's self-respect. They want to take their dignity because then they can take your freedom. They can build you back up. As you pointed out, it's like a boot camp for the American public, what we see going on with the TSA. The milder forms of torture that we saw from the TSA, where they were basically designed to humiliate and strike fear into the hearts of the people. Very much a psychological operation. Of course, B.F. Skinner used to talk about moving beyond freedom and dignity. We had to get rid of those notions and treat people like animals. That's what this is really fundamentally about. And at the heart of all that, of course, is abortion, because that's part of the training of teaching us not to respect life. And you did this man on a street in at the University of Texas here in Austin, and it got picked up by the Texas Right to Life saying, look at what these kids are willing to do. They're willing to sign a petition saying that kids can be aborted up to the age of 5 years old. It wasn't hard at all for you to get that done, was it?
Yeah, that was shocking. You know, it was one of those things, and I said this before, it ate away at my soul and my heart.
Yeah.
Because we saw an article on the College Fix saying that it was a growing trend at universities nationwide. And I thought to myself, all right, I can't believe this, but I do need to go out and find out for myself whether or not this is really something that people can back.
Mm-hmm.
So we drew up this petition, you know, stating, hey, you know, do you support giving women the right to have post-birth abortions?
Post-birth abortion, yeah.
So after the baby's been born, and it could be from a botched abortion that didn't work or any other whatever happened, or at the point that you had the kid and you decide up till 5 years old that, you know, I can't handle this anymore, then you can still have the baby aborted. So, and the reason I say 5 years old is because a kid, you know, when you go back and what's the first thing you can ever remember? Most people go, 5 years old. Mm-hmm. So they say, since you're not really aware of what's going on, you're not self-aware until you're about 5 years old, that's why you're not really considered a life, even though after you've been born.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the statements, though, when the lady in Florida was lobbying for post-birth abortions, one of the doctors goes, well, why is this, whose right is this? And she goes, well, that's the right between the doctor and the patient, whether or not they would want to have a post-birth abortion. And I liked what the guy brought up. He goes, well, once the baby is on the table laying there kicking, screaming, and crying, isn't that the patient?
Yes.
Doesn't that patient now have rights and you're going to murder it?
You know, it all boils down to the discussion of personhood. And as a libertarian, I used to buy the argument that, well, you know, people, we don't really know if it's a person or whatever at this point, until it got to partial birth abortion, which really, in my opinion, is post-birth abortion. They would go through the prevarication of pretending that part of the baby was still inside the mother and then kill the baby. But the baby was essentially full term, able to survive on its own. Mostly withdrawn and then kill the child. And so you just take it to the logical extreme of 5 years old. Let's play a little bit of that clip so people remember what we did on that. You guys got that clip?
A lot of people, they have botched abortions. You know what that is? And what this is a post-birth
abortion
act
in
2014.
And she nodded her head saying she understands what a post-birth abortion is.
But you can take a look over it. And
you can see she's sitting there. She's looking at it.
Stephanie, right?
And thank notice there's no day. Gun to her head thanks whatsoever. I never forced her to sign this like this article we're going to come to soon says. This man has earphones in. He's listening to music.
Why can't you support stuff like that?
That sounds awful.
Yeah, he actually looks at it.
And he read it.
Thank you.
He has earphones in. We're going to come back to that and
hopefully
why that's important.
Hopefully more people agree that.
For this. But in what context can I read it?
Post-birth abortion. Women who have botched abortions, sometimes they fail, and it's to give them the ability to go ahead and go through with it after the baby's been born.
And look at her. She's reading it.
Oh. So, first of all, I don't even have a comment on this because it's ridiculous.
She walks
away. It's to help give women the right to make the decision to have a post-birth abortion if they want.
I'm just reading it.
Yeah, cool.
I'm just reading it.
Check it out. All right, it's just a post-birth abortion.
What does that mean?
What does that mean is if there's a botched abortion and the baby's still born, they can just do it right then, terminate immediately.
They're not doing that.
No, that's wrong. An abortion if they want to or not.
And you can hear the lady saying, don't sign that petition, the girl that was just there. And he goes, I know exactly what I'm signing because he has read it.
You have a lot of students here.
That's freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Like, who would sign that without, like, what the
fuck? No, guess what? There's people who read this that says they're allowing kids up to 5 years old to be killed.
What? Like.
No, look. This came out in a college
fix. Please tell me that you do not agree with this.
Because, oh, of course
not. I have a huge issue with
no.
this. Like,
no, that's why we're out here.
You're making me so angry that people are signing. Like,
and that's the reaction right there that I thought I was going to get from every single person that I approach, and yet I did not get that.
It was so over the top, so absurd, and yet there were very few people that had that kind of reaction.
I thought someone was going to punch me, smack me, threaten to kill me in some kind of way, because that would be my reaction if you walked up to me and said, hey, do you support killing babies that are already born? No.
Yeah.
What kind of insanity is that?
So this gets picked up by Texas Right to Life.
Mm-hmm.
Looks at this, is absolutely amazed at what's going on, sends this out an email blast. And then the Austin Statesman and PolitiFact pick this up, and they're going to do an objective analysis of your Man on the Street report. Here's their objectivity. They describe InfoWars.com as the reporting project shepherded by conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. We're not a news site. We're a reporting project.
A reporting
and then they talk about you
millions.
As being the sports jacketed man in shades.
So yeah, the fact that I have on a sports jacket and shades means that I'm going to make people feel more welcome to murdering babies.
Yeah.
This guy that wrote this article is out of his mind.
So this is PolitiFact's objective analysis of that report. Now, they say that at your request, you emailed them the page listing the people who signed it, 13 people who signed it, and they go in and they pronounce this as being partially accurate but lacking important context. They only talk to four people out of the 13. One of them says that they do support the concept, but for quote unquote complicated reasons. They don't explain what those complicated reasons are, why somebody would still say that when questioned on the phone, they say, yeah, I support abortions up to the age of 5. And then talk about what some of the other people said.
Well, imagine this. A guy who's writing an article is calling you about something that you signed.
Mm-hmm.
And then saying, are you really for killing babies up until 5 years old? What do you think a college kid's response is going to be to that?
Yeah.
Of course they're going to retract that right off the bat. There was a lady who wants to be a politician, and I made her clip extra long just so PolitiFact and all of them can watch right now and see how long she read that. And she's the one...
The first one that they talked to?
Yeah.
Danielle?
Yeah. She is the one who wanted to be a politician and said that had I fully understood the actual position, I wouldn't have signed this. I was in a hurry to get to class.
Hey, you know, I think that's exactly the kind of person we need in office. That's exactly the kind of person we got in Congress right now. They say, hey, if I would have read the bill, I would have never done it, but we had to get it passed by Thursday.
Well, this is the thing, though. They said, look right here. She's sitting behind another person signing, waiting. It doesn't like she's in a hurry to me. She's having a conversation with me. But, oh, she's in a very big hurry to get to class. No, she sat there the longest out of anyone and had a conversation with me.
Okay, so she's the one signing it right now. Yes. By this looking at it. She's in, yeah. So while this other person was signing it, she's talking to you about this concept.
I'm asking her what she's going to do. She says she wants to be a future politician. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the thing. We're not teaching critical thinking anymore in American universities or in schools.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my fault. If you like to use Facebook, but on January 1st, you decide to go accept the new user terms and services, and then one day when your nudie photos off your phone gets leaked out somewhere, it's not my fault. Guess what? You hit accept.
Mm-hmm.
When you sign something, you endorse it. That's your mark saying, hey, I fully understand this. I'm backing this. So as an adult, you're in school. When you read that, you sign that. You can't come back on that. That's what you did. So that's another issue as well right there. People need to learn to read what they're doing. If they're saying they're not reading, but these people clearly, you can see in the video, read what they were doing and then signed it.
And as you pointed out, when somebody contacts them personally and says, are you really sure that this is really what you wanted to do after the fact? We're doing a news report on this and I'm from PolitiFact and I want to know it. One of these guys still comes back and says, hey, I do support it. Stephanie Forsberg said that, but a guy that they talked to, Joseph, said, well, quote, if the child's already born, then aborting the child is kind of wrong. Kind of wrong. Kind of wrong. See, they can't even get to the idea that it's murder. And I think for the longest time, I talked to my wife about it at the time that she was working with a pro-life organization and saying, if they really want to change people's minds, get people to understand what's going on, they need to fund a better imaging system. And we now have that. 4D ultrasound lets you see three-dimensional pictures of the baby in the mother. You can see it's fully formed. It's moving around. You can see that now. You have no excuse to think that this is some evolutionary form of development. That was something that goes all the way back to the 1800s, where you had somebody who was trying to sell Darwin's theory of evolution, came up with the idea that phylogeny recapitulates ontology, I think is the way it went. Essentially saying they're going through evolutionary stages. So if you abort this child, you're not aborting a human, you're aborting a baby fish, or you're aborting a bird or something like that, something in the lower form. Those drawings that he came up with have been shown to be a lie. Everything about this is based on a lie. We're going to talk a little bit more with Joe Biggs about this report right after the break. We're going to talk about Snopes. How did they become the arbiters of truth? Where did they come from? Who are these guys? We're going to Snope Snopes. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. I have Joe Biggs with me. Of course, we've been talking an hour ago. We were talking about his personal experiences, seeing what the U.S. military was doing abroad with torture, because that's a key component of this that's missing. And that is, they can tell us about the techniques that are going on, but we need to hear from the individuals who were tortured. We need to see the people who did it punished. We need to understand that this is a fraud. And yet this Senate report that goes out is merely removing blame from anybody that could be punished for this and placing it solely on the CIA, which I think the real takeaway from this report is that the CIA is clearly above the law. They can put everything on the CIA, say the CIA deceived everybody, they mismanaged it, it was ineffective, they lied to the public, they lied to Congress saying that they were getting real intelligence from it. Of course, part of that lie was the Zero Dark 30 movie that came out. It opens with a graphic scenes of enhanced interrogation, as they call it, and then showing that intelligence is leading to the capture of bin Laden. Everything about that, of course, is a lie. I think it's interesting that was Sony that's now getting hacked.
I don't even want to get into
I know we won't get into all that
movie. I got up and left screaming. I was so mad. It was the biggest lie I've ever seen.
So it's lie on top of lie on top of lie. But every one of these 20 items out of this report basically says the CIA did this, the CIA did that. And, of course, they're going to be immune from any kind of prosecution, any kind of real auditing or oversight or exposure. But then we started talking about this report that you did at the University of Texas. You went out on Man on the Street, asked people if they would sign, Texas students, if they would sign this petition supporting abortion up to the age of five. And we just showed what happened. And then we've got PolitiFacts coming at us and analyzing it. And then, of course, Snopes, who is apparently the arbiter of all truth. Who is Snopes?
It's a couple with a cat.
Exactly. This article here from Accuracy and Policy and Politics points it out. They say Snopes is run by a man and a woman with no background in investigation using Google. There you go. Now, you know, you don't need a degree in investigation to do investigation, right? But they are not the arbiters of truth. Anybody can go
in. Watch out. You might get an alert text message on your phone saying that you need to stand down.
Exactly. I'm a big fan of citizen journalism. I'm a big fan of everybody investigating everything. Yeah. I think everybody ought to do that. So I'm not all caught up in journalistic credentials or that sort of thing. But the bottom line is that they don't have any more of a line on the truth, any less bias than anybody else who's doing any research. They are not an objective source. They're highly leftist with everything they come out with. But you can see the picture there, the man and the woman and their cat in the background. I guess maybe, do they use cat entrails to determine some of this? Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But we're going back to this report. You were talking about the man with the headphones being significant as to what they say in here.
Yeah, well, in the article right here, it says, by our sights, not everyone is paying attention. At least two students act while wearing headphones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can key up this clip in a second. You can see the gentleman has his headphones in, and he clearly is reading it, and he goes, oof, that's bad. You know, I'm not going to do that. So he had his headphones in, and he had a natural response that this is evil. I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where they get that from in their article saying that that distracted him in any way because he was clearly able.
Yeah, you can see that right now.
No, he's okay. He goes, can't support
stuff. He says, I can't support
why
that.
Why can't you support stuff like that?
That sounds awful.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But right, he has headphones in, and I guess he doesn't know what he's doing. You know?
Yeah, pretty amazing. But these things are not unrelated. As I said before, it's having a respect for life, having respect for people, having respect for the sanctity of life. When they can go into other countries, as you were talking about, just go out and grab people out of the community in these foreign countries, bring them in, torture them, and release them.
Mm-hmm.
Or use the drone program, which John Brennan then moved on. He graduated from the enhanced interrogation torturing. John Brennan moved on to being legal cover for the drone assassination program, essentially saying that it was necessary, that they were not getting any collateral damage. And he was rewarded for both of those things by being put in charge of the CIA, where he is now. We're not going to see anything happen in the CIA, are we?
No.
No.
Just more torture and more of it moving here to American soil.
Exactly. And that's the key thing. These are human beings. And if you can do that to human beings in another country, they can and will do it to human beings in this country. It's those rules of engagement that we now see happening on the street. This is what we see happening in the inner city. They're training the police to do this sort of thing. And we see that the Department of Defense, with their Section 1033 program, putting military equipment out there, they are desperate to get it in the hands of the police. So desperate that they would even withhold it from fire departments that they've been giving it to for 60 years.
They actually need it.
Who actually can use it, exactly. Who really need it. This is stuff that they don't need in the police departments, but they're training people to act like they have abroad. That's the scary thing about it. When you look at the NDAA, when you look at the bills that have just passed, we're going to be right back with some special reports. We've also got our special report from Leanne McAdoo talking about abortion. Stay with us.
The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and we just had Joe Biggs in here with us talking about, of course, the torture report, but specifically about what he saw in Afghanistan, as well as this PolitiFact analysis of the Man on the Street report. The Man on the Street report is self-evident. How can you say that's not factual? And of course, when they did contact only three of the 13 people, one of them said, well, yeah, I guess it might be kind of wrong to kill somebody up to the age of five. Another one said, I don't have any problem with that. It's complicated. We got a special report coming up from Leanne McAdoo. And of course, we talked about Peter Gruber before he was lying to the American public and deceiving them on Obamacare. It was John Gruber. I'm sorry. I keep calling him Peter Gruber because it was a Peter Gruber Hollywood producer, and I used to be in the video business. So I keep calling that, but it's John Gruber, of course, lied to the American public about Obamacare and sold them on that. But before that, he was actually using the kind of arguments that we see being used in abortion clinics all the time. You can't afford this child. If you have this child, it's going to have an awful life, so you're better off just killing this child. That's the way they sell abortions. They talk about the marginal child. That's actually the phrase that he used. And of course, that's an economist's term. We talk about marginal costs and marginal benefits. In other words, we have a fixed cost of our factory. If we use more material to make more widgets, is that marginal cost going to be offset by a marginal benefit? So he talks about children and tries to do it in economic terms. And of course, telling people as they go into the abortion clinic, this child is going to cost you $300,000 over its life, or whatever number they pull out of the air about that, as if you're going to have to come up with that right away, as if that they know what the cost is going to be. You can't put a price tag on life, and you can't treat it with the kind of disrespect that we see being done abroad in our name, in our names, in the name of the American people. And of course, as Chris Matthews said, are you going to stop Al-Qaeda from torturing if you unilaterally stop torturing? I thought the whole idea was we were supposed to be better than terrorists. We were supposed to be better than the Nazis. Yet we come to find out that it's the same bankers who start the wars that are above both of them. We find out the CIA created Al-Qaeda. They used to call them the Mujahideen. But we also see them whining and dining, bin Laden and al-Zawahiri and the Pentagon, until they become useful scapegoats for their agenda. So it all starts with respect for life. And I want to go to this report next from Leanne McAdoo. Let's go to that now, the marginal cost from John Gruber.
Obamacare architect Jonathan Gruber is not just satisfied with selling the two stupid American voters a health care law based on deception and non-transparency. No, now Gruber has been exposed as an abortion advocate of the eugenicist variety. Now, during the Clinton years, Gruber co-authored a paper titled Abortion Legalization and Child Living Circumstances: Who is the Marginal Child? He argues that legal abortion had saved the U.S. taxpayer upwards of $14 billion in welfare benefits, and that it also lowered crime. He argues that abortion of marginal children is a social good. If these marginal children, or urban poor, had been born, they would have been more likely to live in a single-parent household, live in poverty, die in infancy, and be in a household collecting welfare. I was raised by a single mother in low to middle class neighborhood. I even grew up some of those years on food stamps. But according to Jonathan Gruber, I would have been better off if I had never even been born. And this is a lie that they sell to these young women, that they might as well just get rid of their children because they'll never be able to make it and they'll never rise up out of poverty. They won't amount to anything. They won't be able to afford it. So this is just a huge lie. And let's point out that this is the same exact man who's in charge of drafting our national healthcare law. So, you know, no need to worry about death panels. And also, remember this.
There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegal. Not true. And one more misunderstanding I want to clear up. Under our plan, no federal dollars will be used to fund abortions, and federal conscience laws will remain in place.
Turns out that was a lie. According to a new report from the Government Accountability Office, Obamacare is filled with abortion subsidies and plans that indirectly fund the procedure, forcing taxpayers to subsidize abortion. And as we've reported before, most of these abortion clinics are set up in Black and Hispanic neighborhoods. In New York alone, there were more Black babies killed by abortion than were born in 2012. And in New York alone, nearly 78% of all abortions performed were of Black or Hispanic children. Now, former abortion clinic director Carol Everett exposed that the industry seeks to find a constant stream of new clientele by infiltrating public school systems. And she also revealed how they specifically seek to target the fastest growing minority groups.
Well, I want you to think of this as a business. Mm-hmm. People don't think of it as a business, but they have to expand their market. Who is their market? It's the woman who's having an abortion. And so who is the longest term customer for an abortion clinic? It's a woman early in her teens who is going to continue using abortion as a method of birth control throughout her childbearing years. So they go into the schools with, our goal was 3 to 5 abortions between the ages of 13 and 18. But you cannot just go to these kids when they're 12 and say, I want you to start getting pregnant. So what we did was we worked to create our market by breaking down the natural modesty, separating the children from their parents and their values, and becoming a sexpert in their lives. My commission was $25. My goal was 40,000 abortions a year so I could be a millionaire.
Wow.
The last month I was there, we did 545. My income was $13,625.
Were they specifically targeting minority groups here in the public schools to get them to become these repeat clients?
We just have to look at where their facilities are located.
Right.
And until recently, there was not a single abortion clinic located in a white middle-class area. They were all located in Black areas. In 1984, Planned Parenthood came to San Antonio, Texas, and hired a Hispanic marketing firm to learn how to market to the Hispanic population, i.e. the fastest growing in the nation and the fastest growing in the abortion numbers and in the teen pregnancy numbers.
There you go. That's that report from Leanne McAdoo. Of course, Leanne and I and Joe Biggs, you'll find us all on the nightly news. We have a special going on right now for that. Every year we run a special around Christmas time. This year you get 7 months for free, just $29.95. That helps to support our operation. It helps us to send Joe Biggs to exotic places where he can get shot at with rubber bullets and tear gas. If you want to see more of that, support our operation. You can also see all of Alex Jones's documentaries are available there, and that's one of the best ways to wake people up. So if you want to wake up your friends and family, you can share it with 20 of them at the same time. And, of course, it's a way to keep them informed. Every night, you'll get it as it's happening, get the news as it's happening. That's Monday night through Friday night, 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. That's the nightly news, and your subscription to Prison Planet TV helps to support that. And of course, it's $29.95 right now. Now, there's also going to be, Alex is going to be back tomorrow. He's going to have a new special that he's going to reveal that's going to be pretty amazing. But right now, I've got a report from Rob Dew about Oxy Powder. Here's that report.
2015 is almost here, and with it comes those New Year's resolutions to finally transform your body the way you want it. There's a reason over 88% of New Year's resolutions fail. Make this year different by equipping yourself with Oxy Powder, the next level in cleansing the body naturally. Using Super Oxygenation, Oxy Powder, available through InfoWarsLife.com, gently cleanses the body while you sleep with easy capsules. Tens of thousands of individuals have used Oxy Powder to cleanse their bodies and aid in their transformations. Even InfoWars Nightly News Director Rob Dew has been using Oxy Powder with incredible success. In your own words, repeat to me what you said this morning and what Oxy Powder did for you.
Well, I'll go into a little more detail. Back in September, I decided I was going to take it. And I've been hovering between 220 and 215. Couldn't get any lower than that.
You're a big guy. What are you, about 6'3"?
6'3", yeah. And, you know, in college, I was about 185, 190. And I was playing basketball and doing all that stuff. So I was really in shape. Over the years, having kids, you slow down a little bit. So I was up to 220. I think the most I got to was 230 at one point, and I started to develop a, you know, like a double chin. I hadn't really realized it, and I looked in the mirror. I'm like, oh, my God. So I've been trying to watch what I eat, taking different things. And, you know, but I was still, like, at 215. And when we started selling oxy powder, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. And I started off, I did five pills the first night, and nothing happened. And it says on there, you got to find your dose. So the next night, I did seven. I woke up the next morning, and basically, you're going to be visiting the bathroom. What I think it does is it goes in there and, like, liquefies the stuff that's inside your intestines, and then it just flows out pretty much. Not to get too graphic, but I did that for 6 days once I found
it. And that stuff's rotting in there, and that's what gives you cancer.
Exactly.
It's diverticula.
And it gets rid of it. It hurts your immune system. It does all kind of stuff. It keeps your digestive system from working properly, all that stuff in there. Took it that first day, and then I took it for six more days after that. And after that, I was down to 202. And
now, how fast did you lose 12 pounds?
It was in six, seven days.
You had 12 pounds of filth.
Gone. Went to the beach in early October, and my wife was like, wow, you look really good. And I'm like, I know. I guess it's this oxy powder. I've been trying to get her to take it. She's like, well, I don't know. I said, no, you're going to take it.
So you did all this stuff, and it got some of the weight down, but not the rest of the way. Well, I mean, for me, it's all a synergy. But I wish I'd have taken it years ago when they were henpecking me to take it.
Yeah, I mean, like, literally 12 pounds melted off in about a week. I'd say a week, 7 days. And I've been able to keep it off, too. I measured myself last night, actually. I'm like, let's see what I'm at. 202.
How often do you take the oxy powder now?
I haven't taken it since that 1 week time, but I'm going to take it probably after Thanksgiving. So I think every 3 months I'm just going to do it.
So how many pills made you lose 12 pounds?
So you did seven for 6 days.
And five.
And then five the first day. So seven times five is 35, plus five, about 40 pills. So it's not even a quarter of the bottle, really. Well, how many pills are
there? 120.
Yeah. So literally, like, one bottle, I don't take it every day. I did it intensely. You really have to stick to it. And by the third or fourth day, you're like, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. If you just get through it, it's not bad at all, considering the weight I lost. I mean, I could never lose the weight doing any other way, you know, that quickly.
Well, this is the final thing people, Hollywood stars, do to lose that final amount of weight.
Yeah, if you got a wedding or something coming up, I'd say.
And groups in here in the office like months ago going, look, see this star, she did it, and look at this, Alex, just, I'm telling you, it's the best thing I got. You need to sell it.
It definitely works. And, you know, I'm also doing the X2 and a little DNA force. But, I mean, the main thing that I saw, the biggest, fastest improvement was oxy powder. And I'm totally amazed with it. And after Thanksgiving, I'm going to do another round.
And the great part is we can go out, research, bring people the most cutting-edge products, and then fund the operation with it. It's a win-win-win. And then all we get is rave reviews. We never get negative reviews. We don't screen the calls. It's joke level good that we can just bring people the very best stuff at very affordable prices, fund our operation, and then they love us. And then they help us, we help them, and everybody's lovey-dove.
At a good price, too. You know, you know, what would you pay to lose 12 pounds in a week? Well, how much would you pay for that? That's what you got to ask yourself.
Yeah, see, that's what I do. I do it for a couple of days, then go, and I lose a couple pounds.
You got to just keep playing.
I know, I got to do it.
You got to do it. You got to get that full 6 days in and really just go through the system. It says it on the back, where to start.
Now, oxy powder, InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139. And 2015 can be different. Diet and exercise are important, but a lot of us have already tried that. Oxy powder flushes it out. Secure your oxy powder at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139.
All right, Alex is going to be back tomorrow. As I said, he's going to have a new special that you've never seen before. And Alex will be back tomorrow to explain what that is. I want to take your calls at 800-259-9231. We've been talking about the whitewashed CIA torture report that came out of the Senate Oversight Committee. And, of course, you're not going to see any oversight of the CIA, not even a pretense of oversight, once Richard Burr takes the place of Dianne Feinstein, because he said he doesn't think anything that they do should be told to the public. They're going to be allowed to govern in complete secrecy. And when I say govern, that's exactly what I mean. We have an organization, just like the Federal Reserve, where the head is appointed by the visible facade government that we see, but they are allowed to do whatever they want to without any auditing, in secret. And there's never any accountability, no matter what they do. Now, before we go to your calls, and just this last little bit here, today, and it may have already passed, I don't know, they've been working on the continuing resolution omnibus bill, which is going to fund the government through next year, through September of 2015. It's not just a continuing resolution, because that would just be for a couple of months. No, this is a big omnibus bill. This is $1 trillion. They want to avoid a shutdown, so it has to be passed today. But when did they give that to Congress? When did they give that to the public? Well, the GOP did the same thing Pelosi has been doing in the past, the same thing they criticized Pelosi for, the same thing they pledged they would not do in 2010, and that is dump thousands of pages on the American public with all kinds of stuff buried in it with just a few hours to look to see what's in it. Pelosi famously said, we'll have to pass it to see what's in it, when she was talking about Obamacare. They've done this now 2 weeks in a row. It was last week, as I pointed out earlier in the show, at 10:30 p.m. on a Tuesday, they dumped the NDAA, which funds the military. And of course, the military is a legitimate function of the federal government. It's about the only thing they do that is legitimate under the Constitution, but not to the extent that they're doing it. Not to the extent that we have multiple foreign wars going on. Not to the extent that we are doing drone assassinations abroad and torture and on and on. But it's a massive thing. So it has to be funded, because that's what our government has become all about. A $500 billion bill, and buried in that were things like a 650,000 acre land grab. Part of that is going to be used for a copper company, taking some land that used to be in the possession of Indians. They're going to now take that, and they're going to turn that over to a copper company. And, of course, John McCain is going to preside over that, because that's his little fiefdom. Just like you have Harry Reid in Nevada, he's going to preside over the taking of public lands for the use of giant multinational corporations. Well, John McCain is doing the same thing in Arizona. That's what this copper mine is about. We're going to talk about the details that are buried, some of the ones that have already surfaced in the bill this week. So last week it was a $500 billion bill they had a couple hours to take a look at, thousands of pages. This week they do it again with a $1 trillion bill. Several thousand pages, a couple hours to take a look at it. We're going to talk about some of the things that are buried in that. You won't believe what they're going to do. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host today. We're going to be going to your calls in just a little bit. But I wanted to talk a little about what's being buried in this bill. And of course, Breitbart just came up with an article saying Boehner ally admits that the omnibus bill was crafted literally in a cigar smoke-filled back room. We have Joe Klein talking about how he's had the, quote, opportunity to talk about this particular pension problem over a cigar at the end of the day on more than one occasion with a Democrat. So there we go. Now, what is buried in some of this? Let's go over some of the really bad stuff. He talked about the pension plan. They're also going to bring in derivative insurance through the FDIC. That's the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. That's the organization that insures your bank deposits. And of course, we were told after the pump and dump mortgage scam, after the TARP bailout, we were told that that wasn't going to happen again, because we had Dodd-Frank that was going to keep the banks from essentially socializing their losses while they privatized their profits. Now the GOP House has snuck it back in. They're going to have new derivatives, which are much, much larger, orders of magnitude larger than the mortgage derivatives that they've been concocting out there. Wall Street has been doing this. Now they're going to have those derivatives insured by the FDIC. Of course, they also got a lot of press because they overrode the D.C. referendum on marijuana legalization. I guess Washington, D.C. stands for direct control. They're not going to respond to the overwhelming number of people who wanted to stop this war on drugs, at least on marijuana. No, that's not going to happen. But even more importantly, the GOP, who was elected saying that they were going to oppose Obamacare, they were going to defund it, they were going to stop it, they were going to do something about this illegal dictation, I guess we should call it, because it's not really an executive order. He didn't even bother to sign it. He didn't write it out. He didn't file it. He just decrees it like a royal majesty. I guess he's now literally a dictator. They were going to do something about Obama's executive dictate on amnesty. No, they're funding that. They're also going to fund Obamacare. The only thing they're taking out is $10 million for death panels. I guess we should be grateful for that amount of a little bit of movement. They also gave themselves a lot of kind of a gift to themselves because, you know, Christmas is coming up and, you know, they're wondering what they're going to give their fellow member of Congress. Well, they decided that the $32,000 limits on the RNC and the DNC, the Republican National Committees and Democrat National Committees, they're going to raise those limits to $324,000, a factor of 10. Because that's the way you get things done in Washington. And, of course, you want to see, I guess we'll go to our $2 billion election. We got up to the $1 billion election pretty quickly. Now we're going to accelerate because when they increase the amount of money that can be given to the politicians who are running for office, that's going to be a leverage for the people who are buying them because it's a great investment to buy a congressman. You get a huge return on investment when you buy a congressman. But although they're going to be funding their campaigns, they're going to be allowing, and this is what he was talking about. We talked about this pension plan thing a lot. This is where they're really going to come after you. And I think this speaks volumes about the decline of America. They're going to allow pension plans to be changed for the first time. Understand that pension plans have always been sacrosanct. You can't touch them in a bankruptcy. You can't mess with them if you're a corporation, but they're going to allow the contributions to pension plans that are required by these corporations, they're going to allow them to change those terms. They're going to give them legal coverage to do that. So while they get their campaign contributions, you can kind of forget about your pension contributions. I think that really underscores the corruption of Congress. And let me tell you this, if you think they're going to do that with private pensions, what do you think they're going to do with Social Security? They're going to touch that as well. But they're going to come after your private pensions. They're going to give the green light to that for their corporate buddies. We'll be right back with your call. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host today. I'm going to go to calls in just a moment. There was one more article I wanted to go over, and that is something on Infowars.com from Kurt Nemo. A new poll shows most Americans support Second Amendment and gun ownership. That's right, 52%, the highest it's been in decades. And this is not from a conservative research center. This is from the Pew Research Center. I think people are getting to understand this because they understand that the government is not there to protect them. And they also know, with our open borders, what can happen. Anybody that's been paying attention, and Jakari had a great report on this the other night. It was last night, I believe, he had the interview with the reporter from Mexico. And, of course, there's been tens of thousands of people killed in Mexico with the war on drugs there. A lot of corruption from the government, a lot of murdering on both sides. And the only place where people are safe are where the citizens have armed themselves to protect themselves against both the drug cartels and the corrupt government there. One thing that illustrated that, of course, is the 49 college students who were killed after they heckled a politician's wife's speech. They essentially used the drug cartels to go after these 49 kids, murdered them, and buried them. That's happening all the time in Mexico. And we've opened up our borders so the drug cartels can come right into our country. So get a gun, learn how to use it. That's what some of the honest sheriffs have been telling people about. Now, earlier in the show, we were talking about the torture report that came out from Dianne Feinstein. I wanted to get your comments on that. Let's go to Stephen in Florida. Stephen, go ahead.
Good afternoon, David. I want to address this issue from two different angles. First of all, you know, it's been brought out how the NSA is spying on us. We're being tracked and monitored by all this government control grid. And I know from in particular from listening to Alex that they are really monitoring you folks at InfoWars.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to put a word out to these people that want to advocate and promote this new world order system that thinks it's okay to brutally torture and murder people. There's a day coming. You may get away with it in the human realm, but there's a day coming when you're going to stand before your creator, Jesus Christ, to give an account for this. It's all being recorded. You're under surveillance. Yes. It's going to come up at the great white throne, and then you're going to be cast into the lake of fire where you will be tormented. And that word means tortured forever and ever and ever. And you can take that to the bank with all your bankster mob bosses. The other thing I want to say is this. I am totally disgusted as a Bible-believing Christian how the majority of professing Christians in America are living in a fantasy world because of this pre-trib rapture theory. And that's exactly what it is. It's unbiblical, and they do not want to believe that we here in America are somehow going to go through what everybody else in history as a believer in Jesus Christ has had to go through, and that is persecution. This is what we're facing. And like you guys have pointed out, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, people say, well, you know, we're living in the last days, and the Lord said this was going to happen, and there's nothing we can do about it. So, Lord, come and take us out of here before this all gets really bad. You people better wake up, because you are going to face the reality when people like what Joe Biggs used to do are going to come busting in your door in the middle of the night, like the secret police did in Germany and in Russia, and drag your sorry hide off one of the FEMA camps, and you will not escape that. So you better wake up and get with the program now before you get a real rude awakening, my friends.
And it's not just the eschatology, Stephen. It's also the idea, if you're a Christian, where is your compassion for other people? Why don't you want to stop this from happening to other people? Doesn't it rip your heart out to see something like happen to Eric Garner? I mean, I can't understand how Christians can sit aside and not do anything. We'll be right back with your calls.
There are, of course, those who do not want us to speak.
Let me think. Just let me think.
I suspect even now, orders are being shouted into telephones, and men with guns will soon be on their way.
It's Chancellor Sutler.
Damn it!
Why? Because while the truncheon may be used in lieu of conversation, words will always retain their power. Words offer the means to meaning, and for those who will listen, the enunciation of truth. And the truth is, there is something terribly wrong with this country, isn't there?
You designed it, sir. You wanted it foolproof. You told me every television in London.
Cruelty and injustice, intolerance and oppression. And where once you had the freedom to object, to think and speak as you saw fit, you now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and soliciting your submission.
We need cameras.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Well, certainly there are those who are more responsible than others. They will be held accountable. But again, truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror. I know why you did it. I know you were afraid. Who wouldn't be? War, terror, disease. There were a myriad of problems which conspired to corrupt your reason and rob you of your common sense. Fear got the best of you, and in your panic you turned to the now High Chancellor, Adam Sutler. He promised you order, he promised you peace, and all he demanded in return was your silent, obedient consent.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the resistance. We are the InfoWar.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host today. I'm going to be taking some calls. The number to call is 800-259-9231. I want to get your responses to the torture report. We just talked to Stephen from Florida. He was talking to the Christians, and I think that's right, because that's where the revival of the country is going to come from. It's going to come from a revival of the church. We need to regain our moral compass. It has to come from Christians. If you can watch the stuff that's being done in our name to people on the streets, by the police, if you can watch people being tortured, if you can read these reports as to what's being done, and your response is, we're just awesome. I can't understand that. I cannot understand that response, especially if you're a Christian. Martin Luther said, if I knew the world was going to end tomorrow, I would still plant a tree today. Would you help your fellow man today if you knew the world was going to end tomorrow and you're going to be, because you think that your eschatology is going to lift you out of all the troubles and you're going to go straight to heaven? Do you think that you should do something today to help your fellow man, even if you're not going to have to suffer through it yourself? Do you have any compassion for your fellow man's suffering? When you see homeless men shot to death on the street like a firing squad, when you see people beaten to death, homeless people beaten to death, do you have any compassion over that? I don't understand it. I just don't understand the passiveness of the American public. I just don't get it. You know, there's a day coming. We're going to have our judgment at Nuremberg. And if you're an old man, if you're a Dick Cheney and you think you're going to escape that, you don't believe in God, you're going to stand before God, you're going to answer before God, and he's not going to be taking any of your lies, Dick Cheney. But there's a lot of people who think that they're not going to have to answer in this life. You know what? We're going to have our Nuremberg trials. And the people at top who say it was for the national security, that ain't going to wash. And the people at the bottom who say they were just following orders, that's not going to wash either. Let's go to Jacob in Ohio. Jacob? Jacob, you still there? Go ahead. You want to talk about torture? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, they act like we just found out about it. But as Alex said yesterday, you guys have been reporting on it for over 13 years. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they've been talking about it. I mean, they were reporting, they were doing their legal covers for it. They were destroying evidence. Everybody knew about it. Everybody knew that the Bush administration was doing this. And they were telling everybody that it was working. They were telling people that we were getting good data. Now we're being told that we don't have good data. But the key is that in 20 different line items on this report, Feinstein says, well, the CIA did this. The CIA did that. Nobody, of course, but the CIA is guilty. She doesn't have any responsibility, according to her. Nobody in the Bush administration has any responsibility. Nobody in the Obama administration who's been trying to keep this report secret. They've had this report for a long time. They've been playing with it for 6 years. They've run up tens of millions of dollars in salary for their staff to play with this report. The only reason this report came out is because the CIA made Dianne Feinstein and her staff angry because they spied on her. See, she's not supposed to be spied on. She doesn't care if they spy on us. They just passed a law, as Justin Amash talked about, and we had talked about earlier in the show, where they're going to, under cover of law, say that they can get everybody's information, not go before a judge, not get us a subpoena. They've been doing that. They're just trying to go back and put in some legal cover because they do know that there is a risk of a Nuremberg trial for these guys. So they're trying to go back and put this cover in there. It isn't going to wash. Because the Constitution says you need to go before a judge and be specific about what you're looking for, specific about where you're going to look for it. You have to have a reason to get our data. No laws that they push are going to pass constitutional muster. Go ahead, Jacob. What do you want to say? This has been going on for a long time, as you pointed out.
Yeah, I've personally known about it and heard Alex talk about it. I've been listening to his show for about 10 years now, and he's definitely known. InfoWars has been reporting on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's nothing at all new. It's nothing at all new. They're just trying to give themselves some cover for this. Thank you so much, Jacob. Let's go to Skip in Nebraska. Skip, you want to talk about the NDAA. And, of course, that was just re-upped again last week. So, or actually, they brought the bill the same day that they came out with this torture report. Go ahead, Skip.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Coincidences just don't happen. I've been listening to Alex for a long time, and God bless you and him and all the staff for what you do. But I wish I could talk to Alex, but I'm going to ask you as a brother and a friend to kind of take him under a wing and say, look, I understand your outrage. And I don't mind you expressing your outrage, but there's only one flaw with that. If you scream and holler at us that the Homeland Security's got 6 billion rounds of ammunition, that's fine. But find out who is manufacturing it for them. Where are the deliveries being sent? Where are the weapons being cached? You say there's FEMA camps. Let's get the locations of them so that at least, you know, if we know where they're hiding all this stuff, we can avail themselves of it. Where are the MRAPs being stored and stashed?
Well, we know where the MRAPs are being stored and stashed. They're being stored at your local police department because they want you, the people in each town, the police department in each town, the taxpayers who support that, they want them to pay for the upkeep and maintenance of it. They're prepositioning that stuff, and they want the local taxpayers to keep to do the upkeep. They have tremendous maintenance costs for these vehicles because they were rushed into the battle at a last minute without a lot of preparation. They're poorly designed. They don't last very well. They have tremendous maintenance costs, so they basically send these white elephants, literally white elephants, to the local police departments. They have to maintain these things and keep them in working order because they still belong to the Department of Defense. And the Department of Defense is going to swoop in and use them whenever they feel like it. That's the whole point of that. And, of course, the ammunition that you're talking about, that's coming out for the for Homeland Security. They're buying that ammunition. That is coming out of the general public fund. That's why we had increases in ammunition costs, why we had shortages of ammunition. The military makes their own ammunition, but of course, Homeland Security is going into the marketplace and buying that up. So that's creating another issue. And of course, that's one of the things that's changed. They understand, as the author from Wolverton from the New American magazine, John Birch Society, when I talked to him last week, he said, a gun, of course, without any ammunition is nothing but a club. And they understand that. That's why this administration has been moving against ammunition in a way that you've never seen that happen before. It's always been, well, this gun looks a little bit scary, so let's ban this gun, let's ban that gun. Piecemeal infringement of the right to keep and bear arms. But no, if they go after the ammunition, if they make that expensive or impossible to get, that's when they really shut you down. And of course, that's why it's a key component of the UN Arms Trade Treaty. They're coming after not only just all private ownership of guns, but also all ammunition, all parts. You can't move anything across the borders. You can't, and of course, setting up a registry to spy on everybody. That's where this all goes down, is a registry to spy on people. Earlier in the day, I talked about how Prime Minister Abe of Japan has put this new law in that is going to allow civil servants, people who work for the government, to go to be sent to prison for 10 years if they leak state secrets. Well, guess what? Everything is a state secret. The mother of the 12-year-old who had the BB gun, who was shot, said at the funeral, "You're not James Bond. You don't have a license to kill." That's true, but they see themselves as James Bond. They think they've got a license to kill, and they think everything is a state secret. Let me tell you, every time we go to talk to anybody, it doesn't matter how low down they are at local government or what, everybody thinks they've got state secrets. Everybody acts like the CIA used to be the only one to act like. They all act like that. Here's a comment from Japan, though. The reason I bring this back up, I didn't talk about this when I first brought this up. Critics of Japan's state secret law say this marks a return to the days of Japanese militarism. A return to militarism. That is what is at the basis of all of this stuff. As Joe Biggs was talking about, it's training. They're training us as well as the police, as well as the military. They're training us to not have any dignity so that we won't have any freedom. It is about militarism, and it is militarism that is coming home. If you think America is just awesome, like that Fox News commentator kept saying the other day, that's all she could say. Ignore this torture report. We're just awesome. Everything about us is, we got to play that when we come back from the break. But it's just, everything is awesome. Then you don't realize that this is training for America. Joe Biggs and I have walked through one of the training facilities. We've seen it. You ought to be afraid of what is coming. It's very clearly coming. We've seen this movie before. We know how it ends. And let me tell you how it ends. It ends with you guys going up before the people in a trial. You who are pulling this off, that's how it's going to end ultimately. But a lot of innocent people are going to die in the meantime. We've got to get control of this. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host today. We're going to go back to your calls. Just wanted to go over this report again from the person who took Obama to task. Yet another heckler. Whenever he gets these hecklers that are pro-illegal immigration, and he gets flustered, and that's when he says things like, hey, I changed the law for you. Well, this particular guy came after him. He's an anchor from Fusion, and said, you're saying you always had the legal authority to stop deportations? Then why did you deport 2 million people? Why didn't you stop it, he says. And then Obama goes back and forth with him, gets kind of flustered. Of course, Obama has said on more than 20 occasions that he didn't have the authority to do that. When somebody else took issue with him, he said, hey, I changed the law for you. Then he came back and said, no, I didn't really change the law. But then he ends with this. He says, I just want you to work with me and make sure that immigrants know what their opportunities are and how they can take advantage of them. You know, opportunities like being able to get in-state tuition, even though they haven't been paying taxes like citizens. They just come into this country, and of course, they can get in-state tuition anywhere they want to go because they're illegal aliens. They're above the law. They're also going to be able to get Social Security and Medicare benefits. And of course, our Republicans that we just sent back didn't waste any time in betraying the voters who sent them back. They were supposed to stop this. They were supposed to stop Obamacare, stop the funding, do something to push that back, but they didn't do anything. They're funding Obamacare, they're funding the amnesty, and of course, they're funding their campaign contributions, raising that by a factor of 10, what the limits used to be to the Republican and Democrat national committees. They raised it from $32,000 to $324,000, and there are another couple of gifts for the big bankers that own them, that they work for, giving them FDIC protection for their derivatives casino game. Once again, they're going to socialize the losses while these guys privatize the profits, and then allowing big corporations to basically renege on their pension plans. Do you think we're going to get our Social Security if they're going to allow private pension plans to be reneged on? Of course we're not. There's not going to be any money for Social Security. 20 years ago, there were more people believed in space aliens and believed they were going to get Social Security when they died. And I'm sure that it's much worse than that now. Let's go back to your calls. Let's go to Kevin in West Virginia. Kevin?
How are you, Mr. Knight?
Doing fine.
I have a question about Social Security, and it also ties in with Obamacare death panels. I'm on Social Security SSI because I'm blind and I only get $700 a month. And I feel bad for even getting that because I know there's stuff out there that I can do. And it also ties in with the death panels because is there going to be a day when they come and say, oh, well, you're not useful for the state. We're just going to euthanize you now.
Well, precisely. I mean, yeah. Once the government pays for your health care, then, of course, they can come in and make demands, as they're already doing. We see Michelle doing about, I think you're getting too much sugar. You're getting too much salt. I don't think you're healthy enough. So I'm going to ban this. I'm going to ban that. And if that doesn't work, if you're somebody that they don't think is useful, as you point out, if you're blind or you've got some kind of physical infirmity or you're older, it's just Soylent Green time because you're just a drag on their taxpayers.
That scares me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very troubling. That's one of the reasons why, you know, again, it is eventually going to go down to death panels, and they're going to be able to decide who gets treatment and who doesn't, under what terms. You know, we've had entitlement programs in the past. Well, this is going to be an unentitlement program. And that's one of the reasons why, and certainly I would not begrudge you any Social Security benefits that you get. I think the sad thing is, again, talking about the churches, that individuals and that churches have essentially given up. And in many cases, some of them are activists for trying to expand the welfare state. It needs to be done privately. It needs to be done by Christians. That's the way you get rid of the fraud. That's the way you help people who really need it, is on a one-to-one basis. And if it's done by individuals, I don't think you're going to see this kind of death panel approach where we say, well, we just don't want to. Anybody that fits into this pigeonhole, we're not going to give them any health care whatsoever. That's the real danger. That's why we don't want to see government in control of this. Let's go to Eric in Pennsylvania. Eric.
Mr. Knight, nice speaking with you today.
Thank you for calling.
Just wanted three quick things. That last caller, don't feel bad. It's not your fault that you're blind. If you're taking, you know, getting $700 a month, it's not your fault. You can't look at it that way.
Absolutely.
You know, we all know, we're looking at the people that are, you know, basically we call them deadbeats, the guys that don't want to work. Those are the people that are capable and they're not working. Those are the ones that should feel ashamed for themselves, just like Obama. That guy, shame on him. The guy is not a team player.
Hang on, we got to go to a break. Hang on, I'll take you right after the break. We'll continue with your call. That's precisely it, the fact that they're going to bring in people from all over the world. It's not just Central and South America, all over the world. on the welfare program. It's Cloward and Piven. It's designed to take this country down, to destroy it so they can rebuild it into whatever they want. We'll be right back.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host, and we're going to go back to your calls in just a moment. That number is 800-259-9231. Before we do, I want to let you know that Secret 12 is back in stock. After we introduced it, it was backordered within 1 week of the launch. It's going to be difficult to get it once it sells out again. It's going to be back not until 2015. It can take weeks or months for us to get a new supply of that. And of course, Secret 12 is a nutraceutical-grade proprietary B12. You take it by mouth. You don't have to have needles or injection. It's a great way to get something that is very essential to your health, B12. Secure yours now before we blast it out, as we say, on our list tonight. We expect our limited supply to sell out as well. And, of course, you're going to have to order it by December 17th to get guaranteed Christmas delivery. We have a lot of specials up at the website. Alex is going to be back tomorrow. He's got another new special. I'm going to let him break it. It's a big special, so you want to check back with that. And he's going to have a lot to say, I'm sure, about this bill and the shenanigans that are being played by the GOP. Again, Alex will be back with us tomorrow, but right now we do have Secret 12 while the supplies last. So go to Infowars.com. You'll see the store up there at the top of the page. Let's go back to Eric in Pennsylvania. You were wanting to talk about gun rights. Eric, go ahead.
Okay. This is for everybody out there. Everyone, we know our rights. We know the Second Amendment, what it means. We all been through it. We know it. My advice is this: don't be afraid. Whatever they do, don't get scared. Just keep practicing. Keep your weapons at different, your guns at different locations. Don't stash them in one place, for forbid something would happen. They would come and confiscate them. Try to make friends as with many people alike as you are, and not be violent, but just prepare for the worst. I mean, we know what's gonna happen. We know the end game here. You just got to practice, and I'll tell you what, if it happens at your home, I mean, one person can't take on a whole, let's say, a SWAT team, but you're the king of your castle, and you know your home better than anyone else. So
that's true. Yeah, there's many, many ways that we need to fight this. I think one of the things that we need to understand is the danger of these no-knock raids that we've allowed to happen in the name of the war on drugs. And I think we've seen people from the left understand the danger of the war on drugs. We see people on the right understand the danger of coming after the guns with the Second Amendment. I think if we can bring those two sides together, we will really have an effective, powerful coalition to understand that we can shut this militarized police state down. And I think one of the keys is also people getting involved, taking the mystery out of guns, letting them get trained, you know, owning your weapons and training with them. That takes the mystery out of it. You know, once they start driving us around in computer-driven cars that we don't have any steering wheels or brakes for, everybody's going to think cars are really scary and, oh, we could never drive a car. It's just a machine. And your gun is just a machine. And just as the Sheriff David Clark, we've had on many times, was telling his people in his town, saying, you need to get a gun. You need to learn how to use it safely, because I can't be there when there's an emergency. We'll get there as soon as we can. We'll try to catch the bad guys, but there's going to be a certain amount of time before we can get there. That's the truth of it. Protecting yourself from the bad guys, that's why the number of people who support gun ownership has gone up to all-time highs, and that message has gone out. We need to get that message out to more people, and one of the ways we do it is to take the mystery, the fears, the lies, and the disinformation surrounding guns and the Second Amendment. Piers Morgan is gone now, but there's plenty of people to take his place. We need to take that away. As part of that, a large part of that is the information war. Thank you, Eric, in Pennsylvania. Let's go to Paul in Canada. Paul?
Hello?
Hello, Paul. You're online.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing good.
Hi, I'm here to talk about the triangles that are around us right now. Now, the reason why I use this analogy is because the Illuminati is everywhere. The triangles are everywhere. Help!
I think we'll, yeah, I don't know what's going on there. Let's go to Jake in Ohio. Jake, go ahead. I'm sorry, Oklahoma. Jake in Oklahoma.
Hey, David, how are you doing today?
Doing good.
Man, I wanted to call up. Today's my birthday for one, but I just recently got turned on to InfoWars and everything, and it's kind of just literally blown my mind, and I'm trying to tell as many people as I can without sounding like a like I've went off the deep end. You know, I'm sitting here trying to explain all this stuff, and, you know, I'm trying to become more informed and everything. I have a young family. I got a baby on the way, and Oklahoma's a little more, you know, not as liberal as when it comes to gun laws. And
well, let me tell you, Jake, one of the best ways you can do that, I think, and that's with documentaries. And Alex has got a lot of documentaries. You can see all of them. If you're a Prison Planet TV subscriber, you can have access to all of Alex's documentaries. Of course, you know, there's a Christmas special on that right now. You get 7 months for free with an annual thing. But you can also find them online to some degree. And that's the best way to wake people up. You know, getting the news every day, getting bits and pieces of it, they don't get the bigger picture like they do with a documentary. And on these documentaries, Alex has talked about the police state. He's talked about the Obama deception. He's talked about the fact that Obama was never going to punish Bush for any of these war crimes. They were not. He wasn't going to stop the wars. He's going to increase the wars. He predicted all this stuff. And when they see this documentary that's years old, and he's got all the information there, the sources, the backup material, the quotes, that is a very effective thing. What woke you up, Jake?
Really just kind of like, you know, I listened to your Rush Limbaughs and all those guys before, and they are good, they're effective, but it kind of felt like Alex went into a different realm. Like, it wasn't just telling, these are my opinion on things. Like, I have credible resources. I have informants, people who are private informants and openly. That's the thing that's really kind of opened my eyes. And actually, I had a question for you. Just kind of me having a young family, just learning a lot of these truths. What is the best way, like, what's my best approach, like, how to kind of prepare for just anything that, what, you know, all he's talking about, if it actually, if all this really transpires, if it goes into the UN sanctions and all this.
How do you prepare? How do you prepare for worst-case scenario if it hits the fan? Well, I think you prepare the same way you should prepare for a natural disaster, for example. You don't ever know. You're in Oklahoma. I mean, you've got tornadoes that go through there all the time. You want to make sure that you have some preparation in case the grid goes down. You want to have some place where you can take shelter. Same thing would happen if there's some kind of a terrorist attack or a false flag attack with a nuclear weapon. You want to make sure that you have a food supply, that you are somewhat independent. You know, we think about our society, everything is on the grid, we're all interdependent. There's not much on the grocery store shelves that's going to be there after a day or so. It's all going to happen very quickly. So that's why you need to prepare in advance to take care of your family. And I think that it's the same sort of thing you would do for a natural disaster, except just thinking a little bit longer term. Not thinking about a couple of days, but much longer term than that. Just prepare for things. Learn some basic skills. Learn how to survive without having to be dependent on things. I would say that would be your best approach. And the way to wake people up, I think, is to give them documentaries. Thanks for calling. Let's move on to Patricia in Arizona. Patricia, go ahead.
Hi. I know you wanted to talk about torture, and I think it's awful, but everybody keeps bringing up guns, and I really did have a point about guns.
Okay.
And that is, there is a site on the internet that you can call to do background checks. And I occasionally get on there if I'm looking for somebody I haven't seen in a long time or whatever. And the other day when I got on there, they had a new thing that they give you. And they give you information as to whether or not you have ever registered for a gun.
Hmm.
And I thought, oh my gosh, if they're giving this out to the public, then of course the police have got a list of everybody who has ever registered a gun. Because if they can do this online, you know, if somebody can just do this online randomly, course the police are going to have it.
So, they have everything is being recorded. Everything has been logged and noted. You know, I remember the story about when the Nazis moved into, I think it was in Holland, they had been keeping 3x5 card information on all the people in town. Just they thought it was innocuous information. Yet when the Nazis came in, they tried to destroy that But the cards were packed so tightly they couldn't get them to burn. And the Nazis got a lot of that information and they used it to profile who they wanted to pick up, who they wanted to prosecute. That's the real issue. And that's what William Binney has said. If you want total tyranny, if you want totalitarianism, it begins with total information about everybody. He's observed this over his entire life. He watched East Germany. He watched the Soviet Union. He knows how tyrannies work. He knows how totalitarian societies are structured. And he said for a while, he said, we're going to go into police day. I think there's a quote up on InfoWars today about that, saying that we're getting really near to a police state. He said that a long time ago. When I talked to him months ago, he said, we have a police state. We're not close to a police state. We already have a police state. What were your comments about torture that you wanted to say, Patricia?
Well, I'm the one that keeps calling about the, I'm so afraid of medical tyranny, you know, because of all the things they're, how they're preying on the invalids and the, you know, people who are handicapped and
yes.
children, mm-hmm. how children have just become, I saw a woman carrying her baby at the store and it was cool here, very cold. And she had on boots and a flannel coat and all kinds of things. And she put her baby in a little snuggly on her chest. And this baby had no covering on its legs, no mm-hmm. shoes on, no sweater, no nothing. And it's as if they feel like, oh, they can't feel it. As mm-hmm. if they believe they are. But anyways, I also wanted to
point out, it's a lack
of
empathy, isn't it?
Yes. That people need to, everybody's talking about what can we do, but you got to talk to your neighbors. Even if you are, I didn't talk to my neighbors for over a year because I thought they will put me in an insane asylum, you know, if I start telling this stuff. And I finally just broke down, went around to all the people around me and said, look, you've got to put water away. You've got to put food away. You've got to prepare in case there would ever be an emergency. And they thought I was crazy, and I didn't tell them everything because they couldn't have handled it. Mm-hmm. But I let them know that you've got to prepare a little bit here. And then months later, my neighbor directly by me said, what are we going to do? Because I told them all when I got through giving them my little speech, I said, don't believe anything I'm saying. Get on the internet and look this up for yourself. This is real. This is really happening.
Yeah.
And then it was like, but if they don't know, I had one neighbor tell me, well, you know what, Patty, maybe you're just going to have to be the one to take care of everybody. And I said, no, you're yeah. misunderstanding.
There's a real passivity, and they have tried to breed that in people. They keep us in school for a very long time. They keep us for 12 years in school, longer if you go to college. They want you to be totally passive, to believe that you are protected, that the government is there to protect you. We know that's not true. We know that's not even true in natural disasters. When we look at what happens in many natural disasters now after FEMA has interposed itself, they become the bottleneck of resources. And everything has to flow through them whenever they get involved. And that in and of itself is a tremendous problem during natural resources. But again, as I point out, I think one of the best ways that you can wake people up, let them look at the internet. Let them look at Alex Jones's documentaries, because I think the documentaries take the time to lay it out in a way that people today will ingest it. You know, they're not going to look at a pamphlet. A lot of people are not going to do an internet search to see if it's true, but if they've got a movie to watch, they'll watch that, and we can make that case. We can show the documentation there. We can do it in an entertaining way. Thank you, Patricia. Let's go to Chris in South Carolina. Chris?
Hello.
Hello, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was the guy that called on the day of when you guys had the thing with Ferguson, and I was explaining how we were already kind of in the North American Union and how the fact that they were using this as a test for martial law.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But at the same time all this stuff is going on, you know, you got Russia flying over our airspace and things of this nature. What I feel like people have forgotten is, okay, you know, Alex has had a couple people on. This is just my perception of these things. You know, they were talking about the guy that released the thing for Obama in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, okay, there's these missing nukes. You had another guy on that was talking about how they can rejacket bombs. And now you got Russia, and then you got them also dropping the prices, trying to provoke Russia.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, they renewed the Cold War. Yeah, that's going to work out to their advantage, of course, because that allows them to sell more weapons in the military-industrial complex. And, of course, the biggest market, the biggest way that they can make money is by militarizing the police. That's a huge market. Terrorism is even a bigger market for them than the Cold War ever used to be. But, of course, they want both. They can never have enough. Go ahead. You had another comment?
Yeah. That's exactly what I was saying. And the reasoning that they don't care so much about these executive orders is, you see, it's almost like they already know something that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
You mean the reason that the GOP doesn't care about the executive orders?
Yeah, they're passing stuff, not really caring. I mean, I think they do care.
I think they want that power once they get back in office. They don't want to shut him down. They don't want to shut down the IRS because they want to use the IRS against their political enemies. They don't want to shut down the CIA because they want to use the CIA as part of their police state. They simply want control. And so what you'll see, whether it's Benghazi or whether it's the IRS scandals or whether it's the CIA scandal, they will use this to criticize the other side, to make political points, but they will never send anybody to jail. They will never fire anybody. They want that apparatus in there. They just want to take control of the apparatus. They want the levers of control. They don't want to dismantle any of this tyranny. They just want to use these trials, if you want to call them that, or these congressional hearings to criticize the other side. And then they're going to go in and take the levers of power themselves. And we see what's happening with the GOP doing exactly the same thing that they criticized Pelosi for doing. And that is putting together this gigantic bill, introducing it with just hours for the public and for other congressmen to take a look at it and say, you got to pass it by Thursday or we're out of money for the government. Nothing will work. The military will shut down. Everything will shut down. So you got a couple hours to take a look at this. And then they pack the kitchen sink in there. Welfare benefits for insurance benefits, I should say, for big banks and taking down pension plans, increasing their campaign contributions. I mean, everything is in there that doesn't have anything to do with continuing the funding of the government. Did you want to make another comment before we move on?
Just the fact that I feel that that's going to be the pretenses, because that's the only country they can't take down, and that's who they're going to blame these bombs on. That's why the missing nukes, nothing ever really happened about it, and that's really where we're going to end up. That's why I feel like these executive orders are being passed, and
What happens. It is a global problem, as I've been talking about this situation in Japan, saying they're going to send government workers to jail for 10 years if they're whistleblowers. Journalists to jail for 5 years. You know what they say? They say this is necessary to tighten control of state secrets so they can safely share intelligence with their closest ally, the United States. Yes, that's where it's coming from.
Silver.
It's coming from America. We'll be right back.
Everything is
awesome.
Oh my gosh, I love this song. Everything
is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream. Everything
is awesome. That's what the Fox News commentator said when she saw the CIA torture report. She said, the U.S. is awesome. Let's just understand it. We can't do anything wrong. That's the dangerous kind of attitude that's going to be coming from the Republicans in this next Congress. We've seen the Democrats tell their base in many cases that they didn't want to have unlimited warfare, torture, violations of civil liberties, and yet they've done it anyway. They've stepped it up from where Bush was. What are we going to see when people like Richard Burr take over the Senate Intelligence Committee? Well, we're not going to see anything. We're not going to see any data from him. We're not going to see any criticism whatsoever. It's going to get much worse. And we've been taking your calls about the torture report. Of course, Alex Jones is going to be back tomorrow. I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say about that, and also about all the bodies that were buried inside of the congressional funding bill. All kinds of stuff that they stuck in there at the last minute, not giving anybody a chance to take a look at it. That's what the GOP's promise amounts to. It didn't even last a couple of weeks. Of course, they passed the Keystone Pipeline legislation for the ninth time, but they didn't do anything to restrain the unconstitutional use of power. And as we mentioned earlier, we just had another bill passed that Justin Amash says is the most egregious legislation he's ever encountered. It presumes to grant unlimited access to communications of every American without any kind of due process, going before a judge, getting a search warrant, getting a subpoena, nothing. They're just going to give themselves legal authority to do what they've been illegally doing for quite some time. And we've seen surfacing, a document surfacing, talking about this Stingray program. We've seen police go before judges saying they're not going to reveal anything about their source of where they got this because they have a non-disclosure agreement with Harris Corporation. See, that's the corporations, the military industrial complex now are more important than our courts, than our due process. And when the judge says, you don't have a non-disclosure agreement with me, they just basically drop the case and said, we'll let the guy walk even though we think he's a criminal, because the most important thing is our agreement with the military-industrial complex. We can't betray our corporations. Let's go back to your calls. We have a little bit of time left. I want to try to get through as many people as we can. Let's go to Rick in Canada. Rick?
Hello?
Hello. Go ahead. You're online.
How are you today, Mr. Nate?
Doing good.
That's good. I'd just like to express my embarrassment to the people of the United States and to the great staff that works at InfoWars for that last idiot that called from this country.
Okay. Okay. What?
With the guy with the triangles, right?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
I guess you get it the odd time.
Yeah, a little crank call. Go ahead. What did you want to talk about?
Well, it's not that I'm trying to steal your thunder or anything like that, but there's regarding the IPCC, with the whole global warming thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's kind of off topic for today, but it was just something I came across the other day, and there's a fellow who operates out of Japan. His name is Corbett.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the site is Corbett.com,
mm-hmm.
and he's got the IPCC exposed for, you know, basically the lies and misinformation that it all is, and maybe some of your viewers might want to take a look at this type of stuff as well.
Yeah, and actually, it does kind of impinge on our tyrannical government. Obama said right after the election, even though the Republicans are going to have a majority in both houses, he said, I'm going to pass through my environmentalist agenda, and there's nothing that they can or will do to stop it. And, of course, we know there isn't, because he's going to enact his agenda, whether he's got any legal authority to do it whatsoever. We've seen him do that over and over again. Let's go to George in North Carolina. George. We're out of time. Well, that's it for today. Actually, we're out of time. Sorry, I couldn't get to your calls. Alex is going to be back tomorrow. Tonight, we have the nightly news at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Check us out. We'll be back tomorrow with Alex. He's got a special that he's going to offer tomorrow. Check in and see what that's about. That's going to be an awesome special. That is something that really is awesome, not our CIA.